From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to Let the Bible Speak. We appreciate your joining us for today's program, and in just a few minutes you'll be hearing a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of his studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. Cairns is continuing a message called A Glimpse of the Glory of Christ. The text is found in Luke 9, 28-36, the account of our Lord's transfiguration. On that transfiguration mount, Moses and Elijah spoke with Christ about his offering of himself as the one sacrifice for sins forever. First of all, Dr. Cairns addresses today's hot topic, bringing the good news that in England, Christian foster parents have been freed from an ultimatum to promote homosexuality or lose their children.
Here's a story to warm your heart a little, to give a little cheer amid what seems to be the endless advance of secular madness. Last week, I reported on the case of a Christian minister and his wife in Somerset, England, who had big hearts for needy children and who had fostered many kids over the past 6 years. You may recall that the local authority decided to interpret current equality law to mean that the Reverend Vince Matherick and his wife Pauline would have to promote homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle to their foster children when they refused, because to do so would have run counter to their beliefs as Christians. They were told they would be deregistered. Their 11-year-old foster son was immediately removed from their home and placed in a council hostel. That was the bad news. Now for the good news. The council's decision has been reversed, in that the Mathericks may continue to be registered as foster parents and they won't have to promote homosexuality to the children in their care. This decision followed a meeting of the couple and the local social services leaders. Andrea Williams of the Lawyers Christian Fellowship commented, "This is a significant step forward for Christian freedoms, in that the council has agreed not to force Mr. and Mrs. Matherick to act against their Christian beliefs. This should be of enormous encouragement to all Christians who want to take up the important role of caring for vulnerable children." This is indeed good news, at least up to a point. There is no word yet that the lunatics in the Somerset Council's social services department are willing to return the 11-year-old boy they yanked from his home for the bleakness of a council hostel to the comfort of his loving family. One would have thought that such a step might have commended itself even to the zealots who removed him in the first place. However, we may celebrate one small victory for decency and common sense. Hopefully the Somerset Council's social workers will act on the agreement made and actually place needy kids with the Mathericks. And hopefully this case will mark the first step in rolling back some of the egregiously stupid and wicked decisions that have been made in support of the sodomite agenda. Decisions not merely to protect homosexuals from assault by people who hate their lifestyle, but to force public acceptance of that lifestyle as a perfectly normal alternative to a family built on a heterosexual marriage. Expect a kickback from the homosexual activist community. Get ready for their cry of discrimination and homophobia. They are so self-absorbed that they're willing to sacrifice the right of children who languish in soulless hostels to be received into stable families as I say, to sacrifice that on the altar of their own perverted lusts. However, this case shows that good sense can prevail. Now we need to ensure that in every such case, it will prevail.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the program format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then we give you our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's relatively easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. That's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
You don't talk about fulfilling a death unless it's the death of Christ. You see, he died with a specific purpose, according to a specific plan, fulfilling a specific promise. He died, and he accomplished all that he set out to accomplish in his death. Moses and Elijah testified the end of the Old Testament types and shadows. They have passed away, and now Christ has come, and he has finished the work forever. This Mount of Transfiguration was stamping upon the hearts and minds of the disciples who were there that the cross is a finished work. It's a finished work. It's an unrepeatable work. It needs nothing added to it, and nothing can be taken from it. I said a while ago that any time you have a denial of the need for the cross work of Christ, according to the Lord Jesus, that's Satan speaking. And that's true. Defeated in that realm, however, Satan doesn't give up. There are people who admit the necessity of the cross work of Christ, but yet they subvert it by making it a never-ending work. Across the world today, there are millions of masses being offered up to God, in which we are told priests are offering to God a sacrifice, namely the sacrifice of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. They're sacrificing Christ on their altars to this very day. But that cannot be. This man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Hebrews 10 verse 12. And then he sat down at the right hand of God. This is what he's showing to the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is a finished work. It's a completed death. As Paul says, he dies no more. There's a third reason why this happened. And that was to assert the absolute preeminence of Christ. You know, when Peter and James and John were fully awake, they saw Christ's glory, and they saw Moses and Elias standing with him, participating in that glory. They got a foretaste of heaven. And then they saw Moses and Elias beginning to withdraw. And Peter, not knowing what to say or do, he panics. And he says, Lord, don't let this finish. Don't let these men go. Let's build three tabernacles. Let's build places where they may abide. It's good for us to be here. Let's stay here. Stop and think for a minute. He hasn't seen the significance of all that Christ said before the event. He hasn't seen the significance of what has been happening on the Mount of Transfiguration. He has seen, but he has not perceived. He has not understood. He has not understood that they were speaking of the decease, the death. The death. You see, Peter still wanted the Mount. He wanted the glory. He did not want the cross. Hadn't changed any. He had not understood the significance that they were speaking of the death which Christ would complete and accomplish and fulfill on the cross, that Moses and Elias were merely witnesses from the Old Testament, and their glory would be entirely swallowed up in the glory of the finished work of Christ. In fact, that's the only glory they could ever have for all eternity. So the Father says, this is my beloved Son. Remember Hebrews chapter 3, Moses as God's servant, Christ as God's Son served him. There's a difference. This is my servant Moses. This is my servant Elias. This is my beloved Son. Never put him on a par with anybody else. The absolute preeminence of Christ, forever established on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that's a great theme throughout the New Testament. Time does not permit me to pursue it there. Take the Epistle of Paul to the Colossians as an example and see the absolute preeminence. And Paul sums it all up, that in all things he, that is Christ, might have the preeminence. Obviously, this happened in order to anticipate Christ's eternal kingdom and Christ's eternal glory. The disciples were going to go through some hard days. They were going to stand at that rugged Mount Calvary. It was an ugly place. To us, of course, it has a certain romance to it. It has a certain beauty, the very name. We love the name Calvary. Strange, really, that we love the name Calvary. It's merely a way of making the name Golgotha sound better. Still means the skull. When you go to Jerusalem, to what I think is most probably the authentic site of the death of Christ, outside the northern wall, just across what is now a roadway, beyond an Arab bus station, rising up behind that, you still see the rugged hill with the great holes gouged out to look like eyes, and a crooked, slanting lump of rock that looks like a nose, and an ugly gash that looks like a mouth. To this day, it bears the marks of an ugly skull. And on that rugged, ugly hill, these disciples stood to see the most brutal death invented by man as a way of execution. They saw Christ hung upon a cross. Their hearts were broken. Not having learned the lessons that he had taught them, their hopes were dashed. Later on they said, "We trusted that it had been he who would deliver Israel. We trusted. Now our hopes are dashed." Before they ever got there, the Lord Jesus brought them to the Mount of Transfiguration. These three, probably because more than any they could influence the rest, to show them the end of the story. This is the end of the story. It doesn't end at the cross. That's why I do not believe in crucifixes. I detest crucifixes. First of all, you should not make any graven image of the one who is your God. For the same reason, I don't like pictures, holy pictures of Jesus. He is our God. Let's not make any likeness of God. But especially to have him hung on the cross. It's not the end of the story. He was on a cross until he died. He lay in a grave for 3 days, and up from the grave he arose, and he's on the throne of glory. He is the ruler of all, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And this view on the Mount of Transfiguration was a view of what his glory will be as the mediator exalted to the right hand of God. The glory of his face, his personal holiness. The glory of his raiment, his glorious righteousness. The glory of his people who appear with him in glory. Now when we catch that, we can understand Peter saying it's good for us to be here. Let's remain here forever. They couldn't then. But bless God, there's a day coming when we will see him and we will be with him forever. That's why it was given. And of course, finally, it was given to assure the disciples So it said they couldn't understand the suffering, the death, and they had no idea what this resurrection meant. I want us to get a very simple lesson here. The Lord Jesus gave them this in advance to ward off their disappointment, to save them from the disillusionment, so that they wouldn't plumb the depths of the depression that they felt as they stood at the cross. He gave them this sight of the glory in order that they would have something to hold on to in the darkest hour. Do you know what the tragedy is? They had all this, and they forgot it. At least they forgot it to the extent that when they stood at the cross, it didn't do them that much good. Is there any evidence that standing there, James and John, and away in the outskirts of the crowd, Peter, who said he was an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ, a cowering figure who had denied his Lord, who had backslidden, fearful of the taunting words of a slip of a girl, is there any evidence that those men standing there looking in the awful scene at Calvary had one thought of the Mount of Transfiguration, one thought of the glory that had been seen, that they had seen? Is there the slightest idea given in Scripture that these men benefited from what the Lord had given them? Not at all. And I want you to think of this. I don't want to equate things that are not equal at all. We will never, no matter what we go through in this life, we will never have an experience like having to stand at the cross. But we are going to go through dark days. We are going to go through them. We have the dark day of apostasy where we see Christ put to an open shame, even by those who name his name. We have the dark days of the complete disemboweling of what was once a Christian society to now make it a foul and filthy thing. That's what we have got to. I detest Muslim terrorism with all my heart. And I would make no excuse for it whatsoever. But I would say this, it is an indication of how absolutely hellish this society has got when a heathen religion can make as its excuse for its actions the decadent morals that America is pouring like a sewer pipe into the world.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies
of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.